Hare Krishna. So, chapter 18 is called Character of One in Ecstatic Love. These are very important nine qualities which allow us to actually recognize both the progress of another devotee and of ourselves. I remember Gopal Krishna Maharaj would sometimes give classes on it and say that we should work on developing these qualities, on practicing these qualities. So nine qualities, and as usual, it is much easier to remember them in Sanskrit, yeah, because in the translation you have a whole big sentence, and in Sanskrit it's just one short nice word, especially considering that Slovenian is so close to Sanskrit. You know, you have Dvojina, one of the two remaining languages which has Dvojina, and you have two rivers, Drava, which in Sanskrit means tekocha, and Sava, which in Sanskrit means water. Yes. Yes. Okay. So, the nine qualities. Srila Prabhupada, interestingly enough, he sometimes switches one or two qualities. So, because maybe it was not... It's in fact one of the earliest books, so it's not edited as later books with reference completely in line with the Sanskrit. So therefore, sometimes some qualities are switched. So here Srila Prabhupada's first quality is he is always anxious to utilize his time in the devotional service of the Lord. He does not like to be idle. He wants service always 24 hours a day without deviation. So obviously it's easier to remember in Sanskrit avyarta kalatvam than this big. So avyarta kalatvam is... Artha, you know, is value. Viartha means useless. Avyartha means not wasting. And kala is time. So, not wasting time or using all time for Krishna. So this is... And the first in the Sanskrit verse is kshanti. Kshantir avyartha kalatvam. Here it's translated as he's always reserved and perseverant. Perseverant. Anybody has the Hare Krishna? Anybody has the Croatian book here? What's the Croatian there? Ustrajan. Okay, so in Slovenian, I guess it's the same word. Ustrajan. Ustrajnost. Yeah, well, but if it's after a consonant, then it sounds like, oh yeah, ustrajnost. So ustrajnost, yeah, it's a very good translation. So perseverance, steadiness, also kshanti, you can remember from the Gita, can mean forgiveness, tolerance. So what shall I write here? What, perseverance or strainost, or what do you remember? What will you remember best? Okay. Strainost. Yeah, or perseverance. Sometimes translated as patience, tolerance. So these are connected qualities. Then the next one, can somebody read, please, number three?
He's always detached from all material attraction.
Yes. So again, in Sanskrit, it's a very simple, famous word, virakti. Kshantir avyarta kalatam viraktir mana shunyata. Virakti, detachment. Virakti. (Clears throat) Then 4. Marta, can you please read? Okay, I think everybody understands here, right? Please, slow and clear. Loud. Yes. So, he does not long for any material respect in return for his activities. In Sanskrit, it's mana. Mana is respect. And shunyata, you know what means shunyata? Yes, empty. So, mana shunyata. So, we can say prideless. Pridelessness. Okay, then 5. Who else has Samyadatri Mandri?
He is always certain to Krishna will bestow his mercy upon him.
Yes, so this is very beautiful. In Sanskrit, it's Asha Bandha. Bandha, it's like being binding, bound, same word, being bound, very, very strongly bound to this conviction. And Asha is hope. So hope against hope, indestructible hope, unkillable hope. So he is 100% pessimistic about material life, and he's 100% optimistic about Krishna. So that's why he can be always happy. Asha Bandha. Yes, so convinced in Krishna's mercy. Certain in Krishna's mercy. Okay? Number 6. Yes, number 6. Who else? Yes?
He's always eager, very eager to serve the Lord faithfully.
Yes. Eager. Samutkanta. Samutkanta. It's an interesting word. Sam means completely. Ut means up. And kanta means throat. Like you have kanti mala, kanti. So samutkanta is like that. Means same as enthusiasm. Utsaha means you're always eager to serve. So eagerness, eagerness, or complete eagerness. Eagerness for service, or enthusiasm. So there is a slight difference with enthusiasm, because enthusiasm, sometimes in Sanskrit, it's put as utsaha, which is the word used for courage. Courage. Okay. So eagerness for Krishna. Now. 7, 8, 9. So 7. Shravana Ramaniya Madhuri, do you have?
He is very much attached to the chanting of the holy names of the Lord.
Yes, so Nama Gana Sada Ruchi. So taste, always attached to chanting the names. To the holy names. Okay, then 8. Who else didn't read and had? Eva, you have the book? Eight.
He is always eager to describe the transcendental qualities of the Lord.
Yes. So this is this is a little, these last ones are a little longer in Sanskrit. So this is asaktis. So this you may know, asakti, attachment. Asaktis, tad means Krishna, his, that, ta, tad, guna, qualities, guna akhyane. Akhyane, like we have sankhya, kya means to speak, akhyane. Akhyane. So he likes to glorify the qualities of the Lord. Asaktis. Eagerness to speak, glorify, describe Krishna's qualities. And the last one, Lord Chandrika?
He's very pleased to live in a place where the Lord's pastimes are performed, like Mathura, Vrindavan, or Vaikuntha.
So this is Pritis Tadvasati Stale. Pritis means love. Or, so we have something similar, Priyatan or something, right? So Priti, that he is very happy. Pritis tad means again he, vasati, residence, stale, place. Stale. So this is pleased, okay. So love for Holy Dham, for the Holy Dham. So these are the nine qualities which are reliable. Ityadaya anubhava syur jata bhavan kore jane in Sanskrit. So these are anubhavas, or they are called reliable symptoms of a person in bhava. Because the usual qualities of person in bhava are that he is in ecstasy. So bhava means ecstatic love. So he cries, he laughs, he is dancing, so many things. But these things can be sometimes imitated. Yep. Just go to our opera. Right? And there are two main schools. One is the Western, I think it's main Western is Stanislavski school, where the actor has to feel what he's playing, what he's acting. They have to actually cry. I heard that they cry, I mean, anyway, this is a separate thing, but this is the Western approach, and the Eastern approach to drama is different. Make a symbol of they show the appropriate rasa through different through gestures and everything, indicating the rasa. in classic theater. Although you can go to, in Vrindavan you have two big theater seasons around Gaurpurnima and around Kartik, where you have the local, there's different theatrical schools there, and these are dynasties since centuries who show Krishna Lila, and these are usually only, they are called Lilas. You must have heard about Lilas. So usually these are all boys, young boys, who both play male and female roles, so to keep it very, you know, chaste and pure, to keep it very, very safe. And so the boys are trained, so they can play female roles basically only until, I don't know, maybe until they are 15 or something, and, you know, until their beard starts growing. They could shave, but I remember once in the Krishna Balaram Mandir, I was there, and some boy, teenage boy, he came for darshan in our temple, and then after that he said, "Oh, you are a devotee, you are here." He said, "Come tomorrow to such and such place. We will have Leela there. We have Leela there. It's a classic place for Leela. I'm Radharani." And he was, I mean, these people are amazing. And there are some very, they are trained, those who play girls, they are trained to, what does it mean? How do the girls move? How do the girls speak? How do they, you would not actually even suspect that this is not a girl by seeing at the Leela. Of course, they are dressed and they have the makeup. And then they speak, sing, and dance. So classic opera, basically, right? Speaks in opera. We don't have much dance, though, right? But here also they have everything: poetry, dance, singing, and the actors sing. And then you have the chief, the father of the school, like Fateh, is the big acharya now. So he's singing. In the interludes, he's singing some bhajan. And even though he is from Nimbarka Sampradaya, half of their Leela is actually Gaura Leela. They put Gaura Leela, and they put even Radha Krishna Leela, they put in the mood of Gaudiyas. They give our Leelas. And they give from Rupa, and they give some Leelas which are very rare, not many people know about Krishna stealing the flute, Radharani and Chitraleka having a picture of Krishna, Radharani falling in love with the picture, then they try to find who is this on the picture, and it's amazing. And they speak and they sing in Brij Bhash, not even Hindi, Brij Bhash, which is different. It's different from Hindi significantly. But I, like for example, I learned Hindi when I came there. And I didn't understand much, but my friends who never learned Hindi, they understood every word. Every word they understand, because they listen with their heart, you know, as one would say. I try to, this word I don't know, and this grammatical construction, no, I don't. But they just, you know, and you can see it's the whole, the big hall, you know, like 1,000 people, and you have half of them, these old babas, yogis, and sadhus from Vrindavan with white beards, these monks, and they cry like babies, you know, they all sit and cry like babies, looking at Radha Krishna Leela. And one of my friends, Savyasachi, he never learned Hindi, but he's, you know, like one of those heart people. So he was also crying there, you know. So he was crying. So one Baba afterwards, he said, "Did you understand?" He said, "Yes." So he said, "Tell me." So he said, "Well, Krishna said this, Radharani said that, Lalita said that." He said, "You're correct. That you understood everything." Basically, my friend was translating for me. You know, he doesn't know Hindi. He was translating for me. Oh, she says that, and this. He said, "Oh yeah." He's. I stopped going there. I'm joking. But he says that when he was going there regularly, morning and evening, he said that he entered this state of that morning and evening, in the night, he would wake up and he would think, "Oh, Lalita, oh, Radha, oh, Krishna." He would be totally absorbed. So these are... of course, not the best examples, because they are all devotees. They are devotees, and they are very serious devotees. They all chant. They all have very pure lives, and they are all devotees. But in general, we also have the culture of the bhavukas. Yeah, you can. These are baulas. Baulas are literally means crazies. In Bengal, baula means crazy. So these are people with long hair, you know. They come. They have kirtan. They don't call it kirtan mela. They call it kirtan. I forgot what they call it. Anyway, I was there, you know, so they come with the kirtan and they, you know, and this long hair and it's like, you know, like the rock singers, you know, they, you know, it's like, looks a little similar, but with the Hare Krishna mantra, which certainly is cool to see, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur criticized them that many of them take it as a performance, not as devotional practice, but as a performance. And unfortunately, after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, many of them took to it as a performance, and oftentimes their lives are very far from exemplary. As Prabhupada says, yes, with drugs, sex, and fish, and everything, you know, so it's therefore they may demonstrate ecstasy. They may cry. They may show many expressions of ecstasy. But this is not. So this is why Rupa Goswami says that ecstasy is not reliable. So Shuddha Sattva, this touch of transcendental energy, that's the main part. And because these eight ecstasies, they're also not a proof. I always mention my sister. She married, she's much older than me. I was, she's 11 years older than me. So she married, I was young, a young boy, you know, 8 or 10 years old. So she was teaching me how she married, and now she knows how to cry on demand, you know. When she needs to prove a point to the husband, she cries. And she said, you do like this, then you do like this. I said, my God. So therefore, that's also not considered reliable. But these, Rupa Goswami says, they are reliable symptoms. They are anubhavas. If somebody has bhava, if somebody's heart actually has been touched by the pure sattva, by the transcendental energy, internal energy of Krishna, and melts by actual desires to serve Krishna, then such a person will be very patient and perseverant. Such a person will not waste time. Such a person will be detached, will not be proud of what he does. He will never be depressed about Krishna. He will always be very enthusiastic about serving Krishna. He will have great taste for chanting the holy names. He will have great taste to speak about Krishna. He will have great love for the holy places of Krishna. So these nine characteristics are given as the reliable characteristics of a person who has reached bhava. So, any questions or points here? Comments? So, which of these nine you hate the most?
The first one.
Tolerance. Okay. All right. I mean, hate. I mean, with which do we have biggest trouble in general? Not wasting time, or always being optimistic about Krishna's mercy, enthusiasm. So can you all please select one of the first six, choose one which you think is very much necessary for you at this stage of your life. Don't mention it yet, don't say which one. Can you just choose one? Which do you think you need, first of all? Have you all chosen one? Anybody didn't choose yet? Okay, everybody has one, right? Now, don't tell it. Now, can you please all get a partner, a neighbor, a pair? Turn to a pair. Get somebody to pair up with. I think we have. Maybe you can pair up with Eva, and then Andre and Sebastian. Maybe you two can, right? And Somedate and Tatiana, yes. So Sabina and Alenka, yes. Everybody has, right? So we get closer to each other. Get a little closer. Now, don't mention it. Don't say it. Don't say it. Okay. Don't say it. And then now you have to show this quality on your face. Don't say it. Just show this quality on your face. And your partner has to guess which one. Okay? Clear? If he didn't guess, give another try or two tries, so that, you know. So just meditate on this quality and show it. Okay? Okay. If somebody finished with one, you can try one more. Choose one more and. Okay. Hare Krishna. You did two, yeah? Oh, yeah, okay, you can. Okay, Hare Krishna. So who guessed from the first time? Who was able to guess? One. Okay, Hare Krishna. Very good. So let's make it easy for Krishna to guess also. In yes. Yes. By the way, your burek pizza was so tasty. I regret it. I took only two. I should have taken more.
She said.
Yes.
Three.
Yes. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So these are nine qualities, which are. Part of a character of one in ecstatic love. So again, you can see that Rupa Goswami gives a science. He does not simply describe the ecstatic symptoms. He gives the symptoms which are sure, which are reliable. Because somebody can be ecstatic just because he ate nice pizza or something, right? And then he's in ecstasy. And therefore he's detached. No. But these are... very reliable anubhavas or symptoms of a person in ecstatic love. So these are the nine behaviors, and then both Rupa Goswami and Srila Prabhupada give illustrations to each of these nine qualities. So the first Prabhupada speaks of, first quality that Prabhupada speaks of is the utilization of time, or avyartha kalatam, or not wasting time. So this is quite understandable that a devotee wants to always serve Krishna and do everything for Krishna's service. And for us, the challenge is to do all activities as service, including activities which do not look like service, or which by their nature are materialistic, like working in a karmic work, or interacting with non-devotee relatives, or all these kinds of things. Everything, Krishna says that we should do everything as bhakti. And in the 11th canto, 11.11.23, Krishna says that even dharma, artha, and kama has to be done as pure devotion. Even explicitly, openly, clearly, activities which are not devotion should be done as devotion. Also, Narada Bhakti Sutra says that one of the definitions of pure bhakti is doing everything for Krishna. Also, one of the 64 elements we read in the previous chapters was Krishnarthe Kila Cheshtita. So, all the endeavors for Krishna. So, how is it possible to do everything for Krishna and act always for Krishna's satisfaction, even when we are engaged in something that's not externally devotion. Why is it possible? Technically or theoretically, is it at all possible? So why? How?
Think
consciousness. Yeah, but these are, you know, external activities. How can, like, thinking, you know, like, for example, my friend, he writes software programs. So how can, he must think about the software, you know, about the code.
Like ability he has, Krishna gives to him, so he can be...
So praying to Krishna, okay, but then he prays and then he thinks back about software.
Fruits.
But fruits is once a month.
Huh?
Well, how do you do this? Divide this into...
Trust from Krishna that he gave him that kind of service.
Trust, yes.
Intention.
How? So, yes, how can it please Krishna? Yes. Interesting. I should tell my friend. Of course, he's writing code for a big national radio company. So, I don't know how will they react to. So, this is possible because everything is the same way how chanting Hare Krishna is possible, because the tongue and the ears and the mind are Krishna's energy. So they can disconnect, but they can connect to Krishna. So in the same way, all the elements, everything in the material world is Krishna's energy. It already belongs to Krishna. So the task is to see that it is Krishna's, and we can reconnect it with Krishna. We can see it as Krishna's energy. And also our duties, material duties, like totally materialistic duties, they're also part of Krishna's world. Therefore, they're part of Krishna's system. So doing these material duties nicely can also be done for Krishna. Yes? Even being a good example in material activities is service, it's preaching. It's a good preaching, which is very helpful. If all devotees were famous as very nice, diligent, disciplined workers, that would be excellent preaching. Theoretically, right? Hopefully, in the future. Yes. So, this is one way how to always to do even those extraneous things in Krishna's service, as Prabhupada writes in one letter, be an engineer for Krishna. Okay, so this is avyartha kalatvam, not wasting time. Then perseverance, or kshanti, then Prabhupada gives the definition in the first sentence. When a person is undisturbed, even in the presence of various causes of disturbance. Or, as Srila Prabhupada defines this in the first canto, he says, dhira is somebody who is not disturbed even under sufficient provocation. When we are not disturbed, when there is no disturbance, you know, if you have eaten enough, if you've slept enough, if it's warm, and you're sitting in a comfortable room, you're a saint. You're a total saint, right? No doubt about it. But when you have to interact with somebody, that's where it's tested. So the example given here is Parikshit, whose test was that he was cursed to die in 7 days. He was cursed to die unjustly. The curse was totally unfair. And even the Shamika Rishi, who was the father of that boy, he was regretting this. And Parikshit says, may this dragon come and bite me, I don't care, just sing the glories of Krishna. So this is one example of not being disturbed. In fact, he is grateful. He's grateful for this curse and for what is happening. And he sees this as Krishna's mercy. And one of the proofs that this is mercy is the fact, what proves this was mercy in Parikshit's case? How do we know that this curse was mercy for Parikshit? Yeah, there was a boy, yeah, Shringi. That's afterwards, but before...
He wanted to retire.
He wanted to retire, what? Bhagavatam. Yes. So, the fact that all the sadhus of the universe came, so he had devotee association, he got the best devotee association. This is the best proof that this was mercy, that he had devotee association. He could associate. In fact, every devotee in the universe came to associate, to be with Parikshit at this time, to be part of that amazing discourse. Okay, so perseverance, Parikshit is given as the example. Then the next one is detachment. Detachment, and the example is given from the fifth canto, Bharat Maharaj, who was the emperor, who had everything possible, but he left it all to go to the mountains and absorb himself in sadhana. So even though there was every imaginable enjoyment available, he was not attracted to it. So detachment. Then the next one is mana shunyata, pridelessness. And we have two examples, one from Rupa Goswami and one from Srila Prabhupada. From Rupa Goswami is Bhagirath, a king who brought down the Ganga. And he renounced, he became a mendicant, he became a wandering monk, and Prabhupada says, he went out begging even to the homes of his political enemies and untouchables. So you can see political enemies existed even before the Facebook became prominent. These are the people whom you would unfriend and ban in on Facebook to not even see their presence at all. So Bhagirath would go to them and beg for rice from such people to show that he has given up his pride of being a great king. And a similar example is from Srila Prabhupada's Vrindavan experience is Lal Babu. So in Vrindavan, behind Gopinath Bazar, there is one Radha Krishna Kanta temple, beautiful, big temple. And this was built by Lal Babu, who was a big Bengali zamindar, a very rich person, who retired to Vrindavan. That's the famous story. He was sleeping and then he heard, "Wake up, the sun is going down." And he realized, yeah, the sun is going down, time is passing. What am I doing? And he went to Vrindavan. He left everything. And he went with all with his money, and he used this money to build actually a gigantic temple. So nowadays, such if you see that temple nowadays, to build this temple would cost $5-10 million or more to build such a temple. So this was maybe more, because it's a very large area, very large, high red stone walls and temples. So he built it, and he lived there. And then he was doing his bhajan meditation practice, and then he heard Krishna in the heart telling him, "I want you to build me a temple." He says, "But I built one." Krishna says, "No, I want another one." He says, "But I have no money left." He says, "I don't want that temple like that outside. I want another one." He says, "What kind of another one temple you want?" He says, "I want the temple of your heart." So then he started thinking that, oh, so it means Krishna is not comfortable in my heart. So it means something is there in my heart which makes him uncomfortable. So he went to his guru, he started talking, what is that that makes Krishna uncomfortable in my heart? And then he, and even guru didn't tell him immediately. Even guru, you know, was cautious about giving a very clear, direct instruction. So he himself started thinking, searching, what am I avoiding, what am I attached to? And then he realized that he has a competitor, a sadhu, who is, so there are, in the same area, there is another huge temple, very beautiful temple, Rangaji. It's a South Indian type temple, like a big Gopuram. And apparently the story is that both Lal Babu was doing a big Food for Life, and that temple's president was also doing Food for Life, and there was some rivalry or competition between them, as may sometimes arise. And so Lal Babu realized, oh, I feel that this devotee is my rival or competitor, so I'm proud of my service. I feel that I'm doing some very important service. So then he went to that devotee as he was distributing prasad. So he came, and they immediately informed that Mahant of that temple, Rangaji, that, you know, Lal Babu came. So he came, Lal Babu came here humbly to beg prasad from me. Oh, so then he went and he prepared a golden plate with golden coins and very nice prasadam. And he gave it to Lal Babu. And Lal Babu looked at this and he said, Prabhu, you know, give me what you give everybody. This is, what are you, this is, I'm a beggar. So then this Mahansen, you know, said to him, oh, Lal Babu, again you have defeated me. You know, hey, now you have become more humble. Then, so that was, that's a famous Vrindavan story. So you can see Vrindavan, you can see Srila Prabhupada as Vrindavan resident. He is mentioning this as a famous story of some devotee at one point giving up his pride. So that's mana shunyata, not seeking respect. Okay, and the next one, Asha Bandha. Prabhupada gives the title here, Great Hope. So there is a quote, so there is a verse here which is also quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita. A very nice verse about hope against hope. Indestructible hope. So this is Madhya. It's a nice, very beautiful verse. From Madhya 23:29. In Chaitanya Charitamrita we have the same nectar of devotion, the same Rupa Shiksha, the same instructions given in Madhya Lila. So this is the verse quoted there. Rupa Goswami sings, Na prema shavanadi bhakti rapiva yogo thava vaishnavo jnanam va shubhakarma va kiyadaho sadja dirapyastiva hinartadika sadake tvaidatha pyachedya mula sati he gopi janavallabha vatayate ha ha madasaivamam. So he says, oh, Gopijana Vallabha, I have no prema. So somebody may say, okay, then do sadhana. And he says, well, I am not qualified even for bhakti sadhana, beginning with shravan and kirtan. I'm not good in properly practicing it. And then meditate on Vishnu. Well, I'm also not qualified for that. Well, then, you know, develop knowledge, jnana, realize you are the soul. And even for this, I don't have intelligence. Well, then please offer your good work to Krishna, and even for this, I don't have qualification. Okay, then at least associate with devotees. And even for that, I don't have a proper birth and life, So, as you know, Rupa Goswami considered himself an outcast because of being the finance minister in the government of Nawab Hussain Shah. So he considered himself very fallen because of this. So disqualified in every possible way. So then what to do then? He says, but you, Gopijana Vallabha, are known as always Hinartadika Sadaka. So this is your very steady quality. You are never without this quality. You give much more than a person deserves. And you always give whatever is lacking. So, hina artha. Somebody can be useless. Somebody doesn't have enough. But you are adhika sadaka. You are giving much more. And you give whatever is lacking. Whatever is missing, whatever is not enough, you give the rest of the price and you give the reward. Hinartadika sadaka. This is your deepest nature. This is your nature which you never lose. And remembering this, this hope never gives me peace, O Gopijana Vallabha. This hope is always burning in my heart. So, as one devotee said, that my contamination may be very great, and I may be very fallen, and my maya may be very terrible, but Krishna and Krishna consciousness is stronger. If I think that I'm hopeless, basically I'm saying that Krishna is not strong enough. Yeah, Krishna is God. Yeah, Krishna is strong, but my maya is stronger. Basically, that's the idea, right? If you understand Krishna and bhakti, then you know that nothing is as strong as Krishna. So even my maya, however bad it is, can be conquered by Krishna. So devotee knows this. So therefore he never loses hope. He is never without hope. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hinartadika sadaka gopijana vallabha ki jai. Next one is eagerness for achieving the desired success. So, samutkanta. And the example is from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Krishna Karanamrita, favorite book of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The meditation on Krishna. Then, attachment to chanting the holy names of the Lord, also Krishna Karanamrita. And this is a very poetic verse about Srimati Radharani, which we also have in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. It's a very, very musical verse. Rodana bindu maranda syandi drigindi varadya govinda tava madura svarakandi gayati nama valimvala. So you can hear there is some ringing of like bells. Bindu maranda syandi indi varadya govinda. It's alliteration. Oh Govinda, this youthful girl named Radhika is today constantly pouring forth tears like nectar falling from flowers as she sings your holy names in a sweet voice. And this is the example of attachment to singing the names of Krishna. So you know that Krishna chants also japa. You know this, right?
People, his cows also.
Yeah, for his, that he's counting them, yes. But his actual japa is Radhe, 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 Radhe. Yeah. And Radharani chants his name Shyam, Shyam, Shyam. So they... And then two more. Eagerness to describe the Lord's transcendental qualities. And again, Krishna Karanamrita. And attraction for living in a place where Krishna has his pastimes. So the example is given of a talk that devotee is walking around and says, oh, Krishna has, here Krishna, son of Maharaj Nanda, lived with his father. Here he broke the cart with Shakatasura. Here he was bound by his mother as Damodar. So these are the emotions of a devotee in Vrindavan or Gokula Vrindavan. So these are the nine qualities. You can meditate on practicing these attitudes and qualities for Krishna. As Prabhupada writes in the preface to the Nectar of Instruction, one's advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on one's attitude. Yes, on one's attitude. This is the... So, again, this is International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And then, the rest of the chapter, we have some more theory, a little more theory, about achieving bhava. So, the next topic is ecstatic symptoms in either neophytes or even non-devotees. Prabhupada writes, there are many so-called devotees who artificially think of Krishna's pastimes, known as Ashtakalya Lila. Sometimes one may artificially imitate these, pretending that Krishna is talking with him in the form of a boy. Or else one may pretend that Radharani and Krishna both have come to him and are talking with him. Such characteristics are sometimes exhibited by the impersonalist class of men. And they may captivate some innocent persons who have no knowledge of the science, in the science of devotional service. So this is the imitative attachment. And there are, it's called Rati. Another name for bhava is Rati. And it's called Rati Abhas, or the reflection of ecstatic love for Krishna, reflection of Rati. And it is of two kinds. So one is Chaya, one is Pratibimba. It's also described in Harinam Chintamani by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and it also is described in some other places, Jaiva Dharma. So we have, okay, so like here, you see there is the sun of Prema and there is a ray of Shuddha Sattva. So this is the direct manifestation of Bhava. But sometimes what you may have this the sun of Prema. And then two phenomena can happen. One is that the light is filtered through the clouds, like now. Sun, is the sun there?
Yes.
It is there. Is the light there? It's coming from the sun, yes. But it's not as bright. It's filtered. If we go outside, maybe we can say, aha, the sun is somewhere there. But it doesn't shine so brightly. So this is called chaya, which means shadow. Shadow. Rati Abhas. us. It means a glimpse or reflection or some shining. This is one. And the other one is when it enters into some mirror or some, for example, lake of desires. These are some other desires, like desire for liberation, other desires. Other desires. And then it's reflected from that, and then the reflection is very bright. It's very strong. It's much stronger than this one direct. But it's false. It's not the direct, it's not aimed directly at Krishna Prema. This means that the person wants liberation, the person wants some blessings from Krishna. And then he knows that Krishna can easily give everything. And so he's in ecstasy. Joy! Wow! Yeah. I remember when we just moved to Vrindavan with my friend from the BBT, and then we were walking down the street, and there was some Mayavadi sannyasi. He saw us and he said, "You are so fortunate, you are so lucky. Look, you are in Vrindavan, this is incredible." He says, "I live in Varanasi, I'm from Varanasi, but Vrindavan you cannot compare to anything. This is incredible, you are so lucky." So I don't know, maybe he could be a devotee also, that's also possible, but at least by school and by his place of Varanasi, probably his aim was liberation. And by coming to Vrindavan, Prabhupada mentions Vrindavan as the place which can produce such, or coming to a kirtan, coming to a temple, then he was in ecstasy, obviously, in great ecstasy. But this ecstasy might be even stronger than some devotee's ecstasy. But why? Because he sees, his other desire can be fulfilled, desire for liberation. So that's not the best. Better when, maybe it's not even so strong, but at least the goal is prema. So then if our goal is Krishna, bhakti, Krishna, prema, and sometimes you may have some reflection of this ecstasy from the holy place, from devotees, from association, we may get some reflection. And then if we commit offenses, it will dissipate. If you don't commit offenses, it will grow. And it can reach prema, it can reach bhava and prema, it can mature into bhava and prema. So this is why at the end of this chapter we have the warning not to criticize devotees. The example is given of not criticizing the moon for the spots. Did you see the spots on the moon? In Sanskrit, the moon is called Shashi, Rekha, Shashi, something. The rabbit spot. The one with the rabbit spot. Yeah.
Easter rabbit spot.
It doesn't mention Easter, but rabbit spot. But we don't criticize that, oh, it has spots, it has, you know. So this is why we have this warning here at the end, not to criticize the devotees, then it can mature into real bhava. Okay. Some questions or points here? Any comments? So these are the nine.
If we see someone, like you said, these nine qualities of bhava, it can be imitated. So what if you will see someone with those kind of characteristics? How is our approach to that?
Rupa Goswami says that these you cannot imitate. You can imitate ecstasy, he says. But these are good, reliable signs.
But still, how to, you know, because, I mean, I have one experience, because one devotee here, she was saying that She was dreaming, for example, Nrsimhadev, and she still had his, and she was showing to us. And my mind was like, should I accept? Should I quit? You know, it's dangerous for us also to.
Once there was a devotee who came to Niranjana Maharaj, and she said that, I hear Srila Prabhupada talking to me, and I hear Krishna, I speak to Krishna, and nobody understands me, everybody criticizes me. And to me it was, I would immediately say, come on, stop fantasizing. And Niranjana Maharaj just said, Prabhupada also was criticized, but he never stopped. I thought, what a strange answer. She's not like Prabhupada. However, then after about a few months or a year, she became completely fixed up, normal devotee. She said that there was some attack on her mind by some unscrupulous mystics and everything, but what Maharaj said helped her somehow or other to continue, and then by being fixed in Krishna consciousness, so he didn't criticize her. He just, so basically, you see, I remember, whatever it is, then this is the, you see, if Nrisimha touched you, you are lucky, right? If you are lucky, you must advance. If you advance, you get to the point of ecstasy. If you get to the point of ecstasy, you are humble. You are humble. You are unstoppable. You are detached. You are absorbed in the service. You are never losing your hope in Krishna's mercy. As I remember, Suhotra Maharaj, by the way, I think today is Suhotra Maharaja's day when he left his body, as far as somebody posted from Poland. He had some disciples there. He was asked, how do we know whether my emotions are sentimental fantasies of the mind or it's actually Krishna? So he said, it could be a real spiritual sentiment. Bhava is also a sentiment, but it's a spiritual sentiment. Or it can be a material sentiment of the mind. So he says, how do we know? So he says, well, if it is a real spiritual sentiment, you will become more humble and more fixed in devotional service. You will advance, right? That's already a sign of success. You will advance further. You will become more humble and more fixed in service. But if you become proud and if your service becomes less, then it was Maya. So no need to criticize the experience. And in fact, it could be some either real experience, or even if it's coming through the mind, even if it's in the mind, it could still be inspired by Krishna or somehow with Krishna's help there. So we judge by the fruits. Palena Parichita, Jesus Christ said, you judge them by the fruits. So, does he become more humble? Does he become more fixed in humble service? If yes, then it was Krishna. If not, then, well, doesn't matter. Even if it was Krishna, what's the point? Right? So, here you can see Rupa Goswami gives very nice 9 fruits. Anubhava. Okay. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Okay, we have one